For security, there's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today.
There we go. I think I'm live. I believe I'm live. Looks like Jerry's having issues again this morning. Let me make sure I'm live. Does everybody see me? All right. Now I see myself. I am on the... All right. So, yeah. Jerry is having issues. He is restarting, and he'll be back. So, how's everybody this morning on Friday? Ran upstairs real fast and jumped on to make sure we have our BCP in place, our backup plan. I don't know where... I think Eric is probably still asleep. I literally just jumped out of bed, threw my contacts on, and Jerry said, "I think everything's black." I said, "Uh-oh. Let me jump on." So let me throw some music in here while we kind of chat for a minute.
Can you see that now?
Yes, you're back. You're right. On.
Very
I see
good.
That. I just don't see you.
No, I know. It's because the way the screen is split. See?
All right.
Here I am.
All right.
All right. Thank you, BSEC.
All right. See you.
Bye. Good morning. Bye. Happy Friday.
Later.
Bye-bye. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, March 8th, 2024. This is Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing Podcast, episode number 574. Always keeping you on your toes. You never know what you're going to get. It's kind of like a perverse version of Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. What's up, everybody? We got a great show for you. And over the next 45 minutes, me, you, definitely B-Sec, Jesse Johnson, Carrie Chisholm, Kimberly Can Fix It, Jenny Housley, Toasty Pops, Raymond Cruz, obviously Carl. Matthew Netchy with the super chat. Oh my God, coming in hot before we even do the read. Matthew Netchy offered a sysadmin position. Awesome job, Matthew Netchy. Congratulations. Obviously, thanks for the super chat, but more importantly, thank you for being awesome and sharing that news with us this morning. So, in addition to the mod team and Matthew Netchy and Marcus Kyler and the Yeet crew, Darius Cater and all the squad members, folks over on LinkedIn, folks over on YouTube, we're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day on this Friday morning. And I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner, or if you're looking to break into the industry, we got you covered, y'all. You're going to be asked in any job interview, how do you stay current on the industry? This right here is a banger of an answer. Before we get into it, I do want to say a shout out and thanks to those sponsors who allow me to continue to come here every single morning and deliver hot takes, even if there are whammies in the works, right? Little gremlins in the mechanic pieces of the Streamlabs and the Restreams. Starting with my friend and business that I absolutely adore, Barricade Cyber Solutions. Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But Barricade Cyber Solutions knows how to mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents. Believe that. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. Also want to say shout out and love to Panopsi Security. Panopsi, get a partner who understands your cyber program and business goals. What does that mean? It means, guys, if you really want to deliver cybersecurity risk reduction, you absolutely have to understand how the business works and enable the business to operate. I know it sounds, you know, trivial and trite, but the deal is we are not a revenue generator. We're a cost center. So we have to do as much as we can to deliver value. And if you're not sure how to do that, well, then Panopsi Security can absolutely come in and help you. They're a part. That's what the partner part is all about. They can do long-term strategic planning with you. They can do short-term quantified risk assessments. Whatever you need, they have the talent and the knowledge base to be able to help you in any capacity. Also, Anti-Siphon Training, but more about those beautiful babies at the mid-roll. I want to let you know that I absolutely have no idea what stories are about to come out, so I will be giving you my rough, rugged, and raw hot takes as they come through. I don't even have the stories lined up, so you're actually going to see a little bit of behind-the-scenes production as I get it teed up as we're going through it, but that's okay. Hey, if today is your first episode, I appreciate that you stuck with us, because if you were here at the beginning, and you're like, what kind of circus, you know, yard sale is this thing with all the AV issues? But don't worry, we got it tightened up. The nose has been pulled up, B-Sec, got on the turntables and did a little one and two, and now we're off and running. So you're in for a great show. I promise you, if you're a regular, you know exactly what we're doing here. Hey, hashtag first timer, if it is your first episode with us. Episode 574, it's never too late to get started. Take the first step and show up today, show up tomorrow, say hello. Hashtag first timer. We have a special sound effect and a special emote for you in order to be able to be welcomed properly. And I love hitting that sound effect button. If you're a regular here, hashtag Team SC in chat, just like Will Reed did. It is CPE time, so if you didn't know, each episode of the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief, just like this one right here, is worth half a CPE. So if you have professional certifications that require CPEs for maintenance, get them here. Get your CPEs, yeah, right? I'll throw a hot dog, two beers, and a CPE at you. So just take a screenshot, say hello when it's on stage, and then if you ever need to audit it, there you go. All right, guys. What a day we got going on here. Let me take a slug of my coffee. It is Friday, which means it is Joke of the Week. It's Grayson's Joke of the Week, presented by James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Again, I haven't looked at those jokes either, so no idea what they're going to come in. Usually they're above board and, family friendly, so I'm expecting that as well. go ahead, get your coffee. There's probably something about the morning read that I forgot about. Kind of disheveled when the audio-visual gets jacked up, which is super annoying. We will be switching over to OBS this weekend. Super pumped about that. If you don't know, stay tuned to the end because we will be doing jaw-jacking, which is an AMA 30-minute segment. But do me a favor. We got to get to work now. So sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over us in an awesome wave.
From the CISO series, it's Cybersecurity Headlines.
These are the Cybersecurity Headlines for Friday, March 8th, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. Flipper Zero Wi-Fi attack can unlock and steal Tesla cars. The versatile device has found a new skill set, which includes compromising Tesla accounts, unlocking the cars, and even starting them. This is according to two security researchers, Talal Hajbakri and Tommy Misk, who reported the vulnerability to Tesla. The trick is to deploy a Tesla guest spoofed Wi-Fi network, a name commonly found at charging stations. Once on this network, victims arrive at a fake Tesla login page and are asked to log in using their Tesla account credentials, which attackers can see on the Flipper Zero in real time. For its part, representatives of Tesla have determined the researchers' report to be, quote, out of scope, end quote.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so a couple things here. Clever attack. This is actually leveraging a couple different attack techniques. So we'll go through them. Also, just a note, MITM, you see it right up here at the top. MITM, man in the middle. This is a common, acronym or term in the industry. You will see it now, AITM, adversary in the middle, more of just a politically correctness because this stands for man in the middle, and it certainly could be a female in the middle. So just so you know, like when I first saw adversarial in the middle, I wasn't sure if it was a different technique or not, but I have, since confirmed it is the same thing. So those two should be used interchangeably when you're looking at it. Now, the threat actors use a technique of basically a rogue access point. So that's the crux of this particular attack. When you go, whether it's you go to Starbucks, you go to you purchase a Linksys router, there are default SSIDs or default network names, right? Like, who doesn't enjoy naming a wireless network? Personally, most likely Lantina has been a popular one in the past for me. If you ever go like war driving or war walking where you basically, or you're at in the city and you pop up your computer and you see the wireless connections, it's always fun to see what those names are, right? I set up my neighbor's wireless like 10 years ago and I named it Connect for Malware, and it still says Connect for Malware, which is hilarious. I did it as like to kind of deter people. But anyways, they set up a rogue access point. So at a Tesla charge, so you have to physically be at a Tesla charging station for this attack to work. Then victims pull up in their Tesla and connect to the rogue access point, and it's a phishing landing page. That's all it is. They type in their creds, and the Flipper Zero connects, steals them. Presumably because I would assume that the landing page is an unencrypted connection. And the victim is now sending their credentials over the wire in clear text, which makes it the man in the middle or the adversarial in the middle. The attacker is standing between the victim who's on their phone and the rogue access point. And you're basically just giving them the creds. So far, so good. And the basically at this point, the attacker can now log into the victim's Tesla account and do all the things that the app allows you to do, which apparently includes unlocking and stealing it. I think that the attacker here, or the security researchers here, used a Flipper Zero, if I had to guess, more because of the SEO capability and the keyword stuffing of Flipper Zero right now. It's very hot, right?
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Flipper Zeros are very hot right now. Teslas are very hot right now. Obviously, this story got picked up in the news. But if you know what you're talking about as a cyber professional, this is, I mean, this is kind of cool, but this is really just a couple of, I feel like the researcher like went into the junk drawer or like, you know, a plastic bin. Like all of us have a big bin full of cables and cords and technical junk, some RAM cards in there. Like went in there and pulled out a couple common attacks, a couple old school popular ones, cobbled them together and like did this, right? So, but because it's Tesla, because it's Flipper Zero, you're off and running. We as cyber practitioners, we don't really need to worry too much about this. This is attacking individuals, private citizens, not really businesses. Be aware if you're connecting to rogue access points that, you know, it if it looks fishy, it could be fishy. Yeah, so the only other thing is too, like the final thing about this one is there's a Tesla app, right? But when you connect to the rogue access point, I don't think that the attacker could force the app to connect to a splashy landing page. So literally, like when you go to log into the app, they would have pushed a web page, web browser page that looks like the app. So there probably was some visual indicator to the end user. Obviously, there was definitely some type of indicator that it was not an encrypted connection. Although, just to pause for a moment, you could have had an encrypted connection because the threat actor controls the landing page, so they could have seen what the input was anyways. But anyways, this is, you know, whatever. This is interesting, but I swear to you, it's because it's Tesla and Flipper Zero. It's mainstream news.
Former Google engineer indicted for stealing AI secrets for Chinese companies. 38-year-old Chinese national Lin Wei Ding was charged on Tuesday by a federal jury in San Francisco with 4 counts of theft of trade secrets. According to the indictment, quoted by Reuters, quote, Ding stole detailed information about the hardware infrastructure and software platform that lets Google's supercomputing data centers train large AI models through machine learning, end quote. Hired by Google in 2019, Ding allegedly began his thefts in 2022 while being simultaneously approached to become chief technology officer for an early stage Chinese tech company. By May 2023, the indictment says he had uploaded more than 500 confidential files. He now faces up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine on each criminal count.
Yep. All right. So here we go. Not a political show, but I will tell you, China continues to be the front runner. Like, China's so good at espionage that they're in first and second place. Like, that's how good they are at espionage. Now, two things going on here. With China, yes, there are Chinese citizens in the United States. Not all of them are spies. Not all of them are committing espionage. So, like, let's not get some type of, like, xenophobia thing going. But I have heard, can't confirm this, but I have heard that if, like, the Chinese government asks you, even if you're in the United States, to do a favor for the Chinese government, like steal secrets, you kind of have to, or they can make life hard for your family in China and, you know, other things. Two, that this may not even have involved the Chinese government, because as they mentioned, this individual was approached to be a CTO of a tech startup company. Obviously, the value of information is incredibly valuable, right? Like the tech startup company very likely doesn't have the resources that Google has. The tech startup company doesn't have tens of thousands of engineers and, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to dump into engineering projects. So that, like, literally, this is why you would want to commit espionage, in order to save time on development, to save money on resources like humans and, you know, lab equipment and stuff like that. So this could have just been a straight cash, homie. This guy stealing secrets, hoping he could like flip it and turn into like the next Google as a CTO and just, you know, be taking baths in, you know, gold flakes and riding on yachts and stuff like that. So we don't know. You would have to, sometimes they do this level of due diligence on the investigation to see where those secrets were actually going, to trace them, because this is like this level of interest in potentially a national security issue. I could see the federal government investigating where he was taking that information, but if he was just dropping it into, like, you know, See, here's the thing. If he was like dropping it in Dropbox or something like that, you'd have to go to Dropbox to figure out who accessed it, when to see if it, you know, whatever. But good on Google. I do want to point out, though, that even Google, for all of their money and all of their resources and all of their, you know, top security, right? If you read, if you read Nicole Pelroth's book, This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends, there's an entire chapter about Google and their response to Aurora, which I'm not going to get into, but like basically China like hacked Google and Aurora, and they did this massive investigation. Google's legit when it comes to security and investigations and incident response and, you know, architecture and stuff like that. So I bring all this up to point out that even a company with those resources, this guy was able to steal secrets for about a year and a half, 2 years before being caught, right? So this isn't a, you know, like this isn't a video game where like you're Solid Snake and all of a sudden you pop out of the box and you hear like, no, like this guy went 2 years with one of the top five companies in the world and was able to get away with it for a bit, right?
PetSmart warns customers of credential stuffing attack. The largest retailer chain for pet products in the U.S. is telling some customers that their passwords have been reset following an ongoing credential stuffing attack. An email alert sent by the company states that PetSmart did reset passwords for accounts that were logged in during the time of the attacks, since the company could not determine if the logged-in user was the account owner or the hackers. They add that there is no indication that PetSmart.com or any of its systems have been compromised.
All right. Here we go. Now, this is a legit story and totally interesting. At the same time, this is like getting socks in your stocking at Christmas time. Or to be more inclusive, it's like, you know, it's like getting like a hand-knitted scarf as a gift. You're like, oh, thanks. Like, okay. Like, this is fine, but bro, this is a credential stuffing attack on, you know, the largest online pet retailer, which is, you know, not for nothing, but basically PetSmart could do everything right and these accounts would still be compromised. This is the same attack that happened to 23andMe. Individuals who have crappy passwords or reuse passwords will be the ones who get their accounts compromised. Now, the only thing PetSmart could do to help their customers protect themselves from themselves is to require multi-factor authentication. But I'm telling you guys, business enablement, if you're going to lose people, you're going to lose some people if you put MFA on. So then you have to do the, like, this is a GRC function, right? You have to do the calculation, like, all right, hey, if we put MFA on, credential stuffing attacks will no longer work. Fact, not opinion, okay? But how many customers are going to try to log in and get asked for MFA and then turn around and be like, ugh, like I'm going to Petco or whatever other pet solution, right? I'm going to Chewy.com or whatever, right? That's the calculus you have to do, because now the executives are going to look at you and be like, Jerry, you're such a nerd. Way to go. Like, congratulations on being a wicked smart cyber person. You just lost us 10% of our customer base, which equates to about $30 million annual revenue. You're fired. And I'm like, oh, man. Like,
catch me outside. How about that?
Oh, man. So, like, this is the real deal when you're talking about making risk-based decisions and what's your risk tolerance and what's your risk appetite. Like, this is the conversation. And I mean, it's not a tense conversation. It's just real. It's business, right? At the end of the day, guys,
straight cash, homie.
It's all about straight cash, homie. So credential stuffing, and you know what? Good on PetSmart. They identified it. They reset people's passwords. Unfortunately, this is just treating the symptoms. If I reset Oscar Navas's password and Oscar resets his password to another crappy password that he uses everywhere else, They're going to get stuffed again. So this is not fixing the problem. This is just delaying the problem. I don't have a really good metaphor off the top of my head right now, but I mean, I guess this isn't perfect, but like, it's like digging a hole at the beach while when the water ebbs away. It's like digging a hole and being like, look at my hole. Yes. Guess what? Another freaking wave's coming in about 10 seconds and that hole is going to be full. So you're going to have to dig it out again, or you could stick MFA, which be like some sandbags in front of the hole. Huh? Smart. All right, let's keep going.
Canadian city says ransomware attack recovery timeline is still unknown. The city of Hamilton, Ontario, a city of 600,000 located essentially halfway between Toronto and Buffalo, New York, continues to dig out from under a ransomware attack that was discovered on February 25th. Infrastructure services such as water and wastewater treatment, waste collection, and transit are operational, but everything that needs digital transactions for payments, including taxes and fines, must now be done in cash. Municipal government services, including childcare and libraries, are dealing with website and phone problems. City representatives do not have a timeline for a full recovery, and no ransomware group has yet taken credit for the attack.
It's not funny to laugh at him, but if you call the town hall, like, to ask about how to pay your taxes,
great cash, homie.
They play that sound effect. All right, guys. It's a Canadian city today. It's a U.S. city tomorrow. It's a German hamlet next week. Municipalities, they're, you know, nonprofit businesses that enable citizens to function socially, right? You get your trash picked up. You turn the faucet on and water comes out, right? Like, you go to the park and the park is mowed, right? These are civil services, and you know, you buy a house, you got to get the deed, you pay a transaction, you got your vehicle, you got to pay registration fee. Like, all these things that are just kind of like normal bump along things is municipality resources. And municipalities, they're a nonprofit organization, right? So they're not trying to like generate revenue and have extra money. So they budget for things like IT and InfoSec, not really just IT and InfoSec does it. So oftentimes they're underfunded, underutilized, under-resourced because, and I'm this is just being real, okay? Let's just be real for a second. If I can make 70 grand working for the city of Spartanburg, or I can make 210,000 working for a manufacturing company in Spartanburg, I'm the CEO of me, right? Unless I'm financially independent and want to do philanthropy, why would I go work and take a $140,000 pay cut? That'd be stupid, right? That would be so dumb.
You are so dumb.
Thank you. So my point is, oftentimes, municipalities are underfunded. And that's why if it's Canada, US, Germany, London, France, Italy, it doesn't matter, right? So they get hit, they get screwed. This is almost a template at this point. What they said was, most services are down. You can't pay online. You can only pay in cash.
Great cash, homie.
You probably have to go downtown. 911, they didn't say this in the story, but I guarantee you, emergency services are still working. I've literally read this book to the point where like the binder, the spine of the book is all creased and bent. The pages are kind of like worn. That's what's happening. Dallas, Texas, Spartanburg, South Carolina, Minneapolis. There was a little hamlet in Italy. I forget the name. This Canadian city. Baltimore, Atlanta, just rinse and repeat, guys. They are a soft target, period, end of story. So if you do work for a municipality, you got your back against the wall. All I could say is go ahead and collect these stories up, make a nice little timeline graph, and then this is what I would do, all right? Again, I don't like to use fear, uncertainty, or doubt, FUD is what it's called. I don't like to use FUD often as a weapon or as a tool for motivation, but I would in this case. If you work in a municipality or anywhere, but municipality could steal this technique. You could do this for manufacturing pretty easily. You could do this for healthcare pretty easily. Go get like 7 or 8 stories and build like one of these like PowerPoint smart art timeline things, right? So there's like the timeline, there's like the little dot that says like March 6, 2024 and like February 8th, 2023, right? And the little story, ding, 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 demonstrate that there's this pattern of obvious behavior and then put like TBD or, you know, June 1st, 2024, like something in the near future, and then put your business right there and then deliver that brief to your leadership. Kind of plant the seeds that we're just on the cusp of being hit. And you can see all of this demonstrated case study that points to there's no reason this can't happen. If I could tell you the number of times I've heard from myself or from colleagues, leadership say, we're too small a business to be hit or to be bothered. We won't get impacted. And when I say too small a business, I'm talking 200 employees, you know, $100 million plus revenue lines, like not, like a 3-person shop with no IT infrastructure. They just leverage like some cloud apps. I'm talking big companies that have multiple facilities, hundreds of employees. We're too small. Not going to happen to us. Guess how many employees the municipalities have? Not that many. So, buddy, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. Let's go.
And now a word from our sponsor, Conveyor. Conveyor is the AI security review automation platform helping InfoSec teams automate everything from securely sharing a SOC 2 to one-click auto-filing security questionnaires in OneTrust, so you can spend almost zero time on the manual tasks that make you want to throw your computer out the window. Teams are finding in a free proof of concept that their AI is better than the rest. Learn more at www.conveyor.com, that is conveyor.com, and mention this podcast for 5 free questionnaire credits when you purchase an enterprise plan.
All right, guys. I'm kind of a mixed bag right now of energy and emotions, but what I do want to say is thank you so very much for being here today and sticking with us through some of the difficulties. A bunch of great stories right now. If you're getting value, educational value, entertainment value, do me a solid and hit the like button if you're on YouTube. It goes a long way to triggering the YouTube algorithm to help other people find it. Doesn't look like we had any first timers today. But hashtag first timer if you're here for the first time in chat. We got 400 of you today. Fridays are always a little slow. A lot of college kids having a Thursday weekend start. That's fine. Shout out to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber, Panopsite, and Anti-Siphon Training. Anti-Siphon Training is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of financial position. They allow students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage with an awesome community. If you've done a Anti-Siphon Training before, please share your experiences in chat. I want to tell you specifically, John Strand himself is going to be doing a training on March 18th through March 21st. It's only 4 hours a day, so you can fold it into your work schedule. You know, get those emails done, get the work done, and then hop on and do the class with John. I'll drop a link in chat right now. If you do go to this chat, if you do go to this training, please let him know Simply Cyber sent you. It's always nice to do a Simply Cyber raid on the Anti-Siphon trainings. By the way, final thing, this training right here is pay what you can, meaning you can pay $0 and attend. So if financial obligation was keeping you at bay, now you don't have that excuse. Make the decision, commit to yourself, take action, go do this training. You will be happy with it. Believe me, John Strand's trainings are phenomenal. Every single day of the week is we have the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Right now, Cigar Master is got the baton. Cigar, please tag somebody in chat. Guys, the Simply Cyber Community Challenge is easy. It's super easy. All you have to do is go on LinkedIn, search for the hashtag that you can see on the bottom of the screen, hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge, and connect with the people who are posting and connect with the people in the comments and comment yourself. You will get caught up in the peloton of people connecting with people in the comments, which means passively, you'll be off the platform and still be building connections. Who wants the baton? Cigar Master is going to tag somebody. If you want the baton, which means you'll post your story today, raise your hand, let Cigar know. And if he's not in chat, just say you want the baton and I will tag you. It's simple. If you have the baton, it's your day. You go on LinkedIn, you share your story, and put the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge and tag me. I will amplify your post. And within about 24 hours, your LinkedIn feed will explode with awesome people, awesome connections, and your LinkedIn feed will actually have mostly cybersecurity stories. It's super dope. Every day of the week is a got a special thing. Today is Grayson's Joke of the Week, presented by James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Here we go. Hey, this is interesting. So it is a Friday, and James got up super early because he wanted to work on his dad jokes today, and he wondered what time the sun would rise, but then it dawned on him. Oh, my God. What did the dirt say to the falling rain? What did the dirt say to the falling rain? I don't know, James McQuiggan. What did the dirt say? If you keep this up, my name will be mud. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. And finally, James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet says, did you hear about the revolutionary new broom that just came out? Did you guys hear about that new revolutionary broom? We could talk about it at Jawjacking. It's absolutely sweeping the nation. Absolutely sweeping the nation. Thank you, James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet for the jokes. Thank you, stream sponsors. And thank you all of you for being here. I got a lot to catch up in here in the on the school in the mod chat. Oh God, I'm like overwhelmed right now. Daniel, we got a Daniel first timer.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome, Daniel. Thank you for being here and sharing that out. We got an Oscar Colley first timer.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Daniel S, officially CISSP. Solid win. I know when I got my CISSP back in 2009, I remember how much of a milestone it felt like and how much of a massive accomplishment it was for me professionally. So congratulations, Daniel. Definitely super pumped for you. I love it. And then Rex sent in a super chat. I went to physical therapy the other day and there was a rooster in there. He was doing exercises to work on his pecs. Oh my God, so funny. Thanks, Rex, for the super chat. Love it. Super chat. Jesse Johnson, 11 months. Got that blue badge coming your way next month, Jesse. Let's get back into the stories.
Thieves use Wi-Fi jammers to break into people's homes. Burglars in Los Angeles are using Wi-Fi jammers to disarm home surveillance cameras and alarms that many people choose to buy cheap on marketplaces like Amazon. Despite being illegal to use in the U.S., these jammer devices have proven to be an inexpensive and effective way to overwhelm many Wi-Fi-connected security devices. The Los Angeles Police Department recommends that residents use hardwired security systems instead. Yeah. Threat actors are using...
Yeah, excuse me. This is true. This is true. So basically, you know, criminals, like this is like, these aren't cyber threat actors. These are just straight criminals, smash and grab type criminals are getting wireless jammers. And, you know, basically your Ring doorbell, your Wyze cameras, your I don't know if you guys have been to Costco lately, but they're really pushing these like camera, IoT device surveillance system things. And I mean, they're super convenient. You're like, they're head, not headless, but they're just like independent units. You slap them on the wall. You slap it above your garage door or whatever, and it all reports back wirelessly to, some cloud system somewhere. Now, obviously, this story is not about the risk and concern of having wireless cameras on your property and who can see the feeds and stuff. This is just attacking the physical medium, right? So this is layer one of your OSI model getting attacked. This Wi-Fi jammer basically sends out a bunch of noise, and now your cameras are unable to communicate to the router, and effectively your camera system's down. That's all it is. Now, they said these Wi-Fi jammers are illegal in the United States, but guess what? Criminals are robbing you. They don't care. They're already committing crime. What's another charge thrown on top? Big deal. So that's what's going on. I will put out that these Wi-Fi jammers, they said, oh, they can knock. You could see, shut down those crappy security cameras you bought on Amazon. I got news for you, bro. You could buy the most expensive wireless camera on Amazon, and it's still going to work as far as this attack goes, the Wi-Fi jammer. Like, I find it a little salacious that the author of this paper, Victor Tangerman, and by the way, sometimes the journalist that writes the article does not write the headline. I worked in journalism in college for a little bit. Typically, it's the editor-in-chief that comes up at the time. So anyways, they may not have came up with this, but this is definitely a salacious headline in order to get clicks. It is not relevant that it's cheap cameras you're buying that this attack works. It's the use of the wireless medium for network traffic communication that makes this work. Also, I want to point out that you don't need to buy this like slick, wireless jammer. Yeah, it makes it super easy. And if you don't know what you're doing, there you go. But guys, you can build this attack. Do I have it? I can't produce it right now, but you can build this yourself. You can go get an alpha wireless NIC and stick it in a Raspberry Pi and just, use Aircrack, AirMon, Air Replay to just flood, deauthenticate the wireless cameras and just walk in. Like, you can build this. This isn't like some next level spy versus spy nation state threat only activity. Hell, like Flipper Zero probably has a function to do this. Honestly, let me look at my flip. Like Flipper Zero, bro, probably has a spam wireless network. So like, this is cool, but whatever. I will point out that, little hat tip to the cyber criminals employing technology into their attacks. I've also seen, have you seen the guys, your car key fob that can unlock your car from inside the house or start your car from inside the house? I don't know if you've seen these videos where these knuckleheads are basically in the middle of the night, like walking up to a house with a big, like basically a big wireless and antenna, interrogating the fob, and then getting it to replay back to the car. So if you leave your keys by the front door, which a lot of people do, the threat actors can basically interrogate your device and get it to replay back to your car. That's an attack that's going on right now. That does require a little bit more skill than this, but this is not something that you need to, I guess, listen, if you work at a business and you're depending on wireless cameras to protect your physical facility and you have very sensitive things in your physical facility, you may want to investigate a defense in depth, like physical locks on the doors or like they said in the story, if you hardwire the camera system, then there's no chance that this attack works because you're changing the layer one of the OSI model of where the network traffic goes.
Facebook messages to spread snake information stealer. Researchers at Cyber Reason state that the info stealer is based on Python and seeks to pull credentials from an infected system and transmit them to platforms including Discord, GitHub, and Telegram. The procedure is initiated by sending Facebook Messenger direct messages to the victims to get them to download RAR or ZIP files. Certain phraseology and tools used within this campaign suggest that it belongs to Vietnamese-speaking individuals.
Ooh.
New.
All right. So first of all, there's a graphic here, an infographic. So let's check that out. Guys, here's the deal. Like, it's so funny. Like, we think, or when you first get into cybersecurity, right? You're like, oh man, it's so sexy. Look at all this hot zero day action. Look at all this Kali tools. Ooh, command line interface. You know, like, let me peep on you, right? And then you get in the industry and you realize, like, things like this happen. Literally, this is just a threat actor DMing someone on Facebook and saying, download and install this malware, and the victim does it. Like, there's nothing elegant about this. There's nothing sexy about this. This is straight up, here's a piece of malware, install it. And the victim's like, oh yeah. And then info stealing happens, right? So, this is why we have to educate our end users and make them aware of these risks. Now, this is attacking individuals kind of on their own platform. I know that the youngs don't really go on Facebook anymore, but older people do, and older people are not all, this isn't an ageist comment, but a lot of people who didn't come up on tech will fall for these things. If I had to guess, there's some minimal effort of social engineering going on here. Yeah, I mean, this whole infographic is about the payload detonating already on the device versus the actual phishing or whatever. But guys, like, you don't have to be crazy clever. Like, hey, download this malware. Okay. Like, I almost find it silly that, like, they went through all this effort to make it as complicated as they did. I would say if you're interested, you know, they say Facebook Messenger, educate your end users. Like, there might be some indicator in here as to, who, they're targeting business owners. Okay. Which makes sense, right? Because there's some value there. If you're helping small business, if you're like an MSP for smaller businesses, educate them on, you know, basically this threat attack. Make sure they have EDR or some type of anti-malware solution installed. Don't download stuff from DMs. Like, no vendor is like, oh man, you got to check out this new app. Download it in DMs. Like, what are you doing? Just educate your end users. This one's fairly easy to communicate. Hey, threat actors are sending links in direct messages to get you to download stuff. Don't do it. You could see here too, this particular Twitter account or whatever it is, X account, is showing that the threat actors are using a Google Drive as a delivery vehicle. So don't tell your end users, like, oh, look for weird domain names like this one, like koalaaqua.com. That would be sussy. But like Google Drive, you're a business owner might be like, yeah, no problem, looks good. So, yeah, this is straight info security awareness with a dash of sea salt and EDR solution.
Linux malware campaign targets a range of misconfigured instances. This new campaign targets misconfigured Apache Hadoop, Confluence, Docker, and Redis instances. According to researchers from Cato Security, the threat actors are using, quote, previously undetected payloads, including 4 Golang binaries used to automate the discovery and infection of hosts running the above services, end quote. It appears the attackers are using this campaign to drop and execute a cryptocurrency miner. Remember, we've got...
I'm a crypto evangelist. I love it, love it, love it.
All right. As Bitcoin continues to surge past 60,000, or I don't know, I haven't been following it, but the crypto bros are out, and malware to get you to mine cryptocurrency is back in the hunt. They talk about the threat actors are targeting Linux systems. Spoiler alert, Linux can run malware too, so don't fall on that. And they're targeting misconfigured servers, okay? Hadoop is big data. Confluence, I believe, is like a management system from Atlassian. Docker is Docker. Everybody knows Docker. And Redis is another kind of like issue. So here's the deal. two things going on. One, you should absolutely, if you can, it's very difficult to do this, but you should absolutely be talking with your IT counterparts. If you're big enough to have like a Linux admin team and a Windows server team, or if you just have an IT person, talk about, hey, like, just want to make sure everything's configured. I have to imagine that this is misconfigured. I'm curious if the misconfiguration is around exposure to the internet versus allowing, you know, like some type of execution permissions issues. Yeah, see, it says they use Golang binaries to automate the discovery and infection of hosts. So this doesn't tell me what the misconfiguration is, unfortunately. The fact that it's really a bunch of different types of technology, like Hadoop and Confluence and stuff, would indicate that it's not a technical exploitation. It's more of a misconfigured access issue. And then once they get initial access, then they can start pulling down actual payloads, their C2 stuff. Let's see. I'm just looking here again. I don't research these stories in advance. This right here, this screenshot is basically showing network traffic. This is pulling down the payload. So the initial infection has already happened and the threat actors are pulling down payloads at this point. So you can configure your SIM. Basically, there's a couple things you can do here. One, you should have these systems configured correctly. But again, unfortunately, without going too deep into the story, I don't know what the threat actors are attacking as far as a misconfiguration. So unfortunately, you can't go to your IT team and be like, hey, like you would sound like a complete clown if you went to your IT team and said, hey, look at this story, guys. Look at this story, guys. We need to targets misconfigure. Did they really make a typo and say that misconfigured twice in the headline? You can't go to your IT team and say, hey, listen, guys, we're running Redis servers. We got to make sure they're configured correctly. If you go to your IT team and say that, they're going to look at you and be like,
you are so dumb.
They're going to be like, what do you mean? Like, what's misconfigured? There's a lot of things to configure on a Redis server, Jerry. What do you want us to configure? And then if you don't have an answer to that, you lose all credibility in their eyes. So you definitely can't do that. You may want to say, if you don't know, you might want to say, hey, like, here's this story. Just want to make you aware of an uptick in activity on these things. You would want to monitor for infection on these servers. You can use your SIM to, you know, detect these things, your EDR to detect these things. You can go threat hunting in your environment if you can find whatever the IOCs are for this particular attack. Yeah, exactly. They're saying that Golang automates the attack, but they're not saying it. Also, because the threat actors are going for XM Rig Miner, there is like no XM Rig has been around for a while. So I would suspect that there are well-defined indicators that XM Rig is running on your machine. So if you see that, you definitely want to get that sorted out quickly. So yeah. So Jesse Johnson points out, it's a good point. Like obviously, if it is a basic misconfiguration that's being exploited, you could find it with a tool like Nessus or something like that. But if it's something more like improperly configured to allow access from the internet, like Nessus isn't going to really find that, but you could use something like Shodan or something like that to scan your external network interface. You should be doing that anyways as a normal part of your workflows, right? Is to like be scanning your external facing network IP range. You should almost set an automation up to do that daily and report back via email or a webhook or something. So that's what's up with that. Rex giving the super chat. Thanks, Rex.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. I got a new printer that required Windows 8 or better, so I installed Linux. That's funny. All right, let's keep going. I think that's it for the stories.
A busy day ahead over here on the CISO series. The first thing you need to check out is our...
All right, everybody. Holla, holla, holla. Yeah, so Alpha Sierra wants to know more in-depth info. Alpha Sierra, let me drop the story. Where's the story? Let me drop the story for you, Alpha Sierra, in chat. You can go there and get more info on it. Or we can do it during jawjacking. Guys, if you were here just for the news, I bid you good day. Thank you, as always, for being understanding and very gracious with some of the technical difficulties we roll through here on the program. I'm a cybersecurity professional, not a, you know, an AV producer director, but I do have to do some of those things to deliver this show to you. Thanks to the mod team for always being there and helping with troubleshooting and delivering a great show. We did not get, I didn't see anybody accept the baton. I do need somebody to volunteer for the Simply Cyber Community Challenge today. Step into the light. Believe me, if your LinkedIn feed is not all cybersecurity and you want it to be all cybersecurity, this is your opportunity to basically hack LinkedIn and get it done. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. If you want to hang out, let's hang out. We're going to be switching over to jawjacking in a hot minute. I got to switch my gear up here. All right, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Be good, and until next time, stay secure. Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning. This is Jerry Guy coming across your airwaves, bringing you the hottest cyber news and hot takes of the day. Just coming hot off the heels of Dr. Gerald Osher's Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief, episode 574. But here on Jawjacking, we're doing AMA, we're high-fiving, we're sharing stories, we're sharing resources, going deeper. All about good times. Now, if you excuse me for one moment, it's getting a little hot in here. Don't anybody, please, don't razz me about this, but I do have to take my shirt off. Hold on. All right, what's up? Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome. I'm out of coffee, which is a total bummer. Wham. All right, we definitely need someone to take the baton from from Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Let's get on that. Hey, Gabe Lister, I enjoy doing that too. That's kind of like a fun little the start of the jawjacking with the deep throaty voice is something that cracks me up. Tim McDonald, the Jerry Guy jawjacking emo could be fun. I gotta look. Eric Taylor and Barricade sponsored like 200 squad members in the last month, so we may have unlocked a new. Holy crap! Dark Knight 1989 graduating from the FBI Citizen Academy tomorrow. That's pretty cool. Congratulations. Dark Knight 1989. Can you put in chat what your experience was with that? That's really interesting. That's interesting, man. That's interesting. Kind of curious. I'm kind of curious what that is. So guys, this is kind of cool. I got CNN, the national news network. There's a reporter who's like called me a few times and talked to me. It's never turned into a story or anything, but like I'm in CNN's Rolodex. She told me she actually did this Citizen Academy. So this is kind of cool. I'd be kind of curious. I don't know. I can't find it, but it would be interesting. It's pretty cool. Jesse Johnson wants the baton. It has been a year, Jesse Johnson. Yes. Jesse Johnson's got the baton. Thank you, Jesse Johnson, for taking the baton. We look forward to seeing your story. I know you've been doing a lot of amazing things. Guys, just as a quick example, I know so many of you in the community have done such amazing things. Just to name one example, Jesse Johnson has legit followed the guidance of, you know, the best practices to break into cybersecurity, and he's absolutely crushing it. His story is a testament to, if you just do the things, put the time in, it will result in massive success, massive results. Hold on. I'm sorry, Justin Hooligan. Yeah. All right. Hey, Justin Hooligan, since Jesse has done it before, we would love to give you the baton. Just need you to confirm. Justin Hooligan, please confirm the baton pass. Jesse, we're going to pass on you. Like, obviously, if you get another opportunity, we'll do it. What are you guys talking about with my tabs? I've only got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 20. I only have 26 tabs. Like, literally, come on, guys. I can still see the favicon on the tabs. It's not that bad. All right. Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys got the... if you attended last night's office hours, it was really fun. There was like 100 people there. We went through a bunch of resources, answered a bunch of questions. Very cool. Chris Young saying, hey, Jerry, can you update us on how you think the office hours went yesterday? Oh, that's what I'm saying right now. Yeah, I thought office hours was really cool, guys. So on my Thursday lives, I've got usually guests that come in, but I didn't have a guest yesterday. And instead of canceling, I wanted to go do an office hour. And I just did an old school AMA, like Jaw Jackin's cool. But this was like totally focused AMA. And it was awesome. I thought it was fantastic. If you want, I answered a bunch of questions. Honestly, you know what I wish I was better at? Like, this is like a pretty specific thing, but like, I'm terrible at Instagram. I'm terrible at YouTube shorts. But I swear to God, like yesterday's office hours, I probably answered like 40 questions. Like, that's like 40 shorts. Like, here's the question, here's the answer. Here's the question, here's the answer. I wish I could do that, but I could do that. All right, so Justin Hooligan, if it sounds like you're accepting the baton. Justin, here's what you got to do. All you have to do, Justin, is go on LinkedIn, make a post on LinkedIn, and share your story. And the important part is include hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge so other people can find it, and tag me at Gerald Osier, PhD, so I can amplify it, okay? Plus, so I can connect with you. I might not be connected with you. That's all you got to do, buddy. Let's see. Chelsea Ray Waterhouse. She's all right. So it seems like there's two factions, right? There's people who say GIF and people who say GIF. And then there's people who are all about having the tabs open and not having the tabs. Another thing that I'd like to admit, I showed this on LinkedIn yesterday. And okay, so I have 140,000 unread emails, okay? Don't judge me. Here's the thing. I check my email probably 75 times a day, and I just scan the subject line and the preview, okay? So I manage my inbox a little different, but I will tell you that having a bubble with 140,000 does drive some people pretty crazy. All right, let's see. LeGrot just cut yesterday up into a short video. It'll increase the views. Oh, yeah, no. I know, LeGrot. It's not that. It's that I don't... Cutting the videos up, yes, I know that's how to do it, but it takes time, and I don't have time. I've tried some of those, like, AI solutions. They're terrible. They're terrible. Josh Mason glaring at me. Like, I just showed my 140,000 unread emails, and, like, it went from 328 people live in chat to 200. Like 100 people were like, oh, like, straight dying. Josh Mason, how do I know when I have new emails? I don't. I've turned off all notifications because, dude, getting email notifications, it overwhelms my phone. Like, I just turned it off because it's like ding, 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 ding. Like, that's why I tell people, like, if you send me an email, all right, like, I'll try. But, you know, it's kind of funny how often people will email me again and be like, in case you missed the first one. And I'm like, yeah. In fact, I'm actually doing some work with Flare. Have you guys seen Flare? Let me show this on stream. I'm not going to log in because it's a lot of sensitive information, and the video I'm going to do has to be, like, scrubbed and everything. But, dude, guys, you should check this out. This platform is uber legit. Again, you won't be able to use it without getting vetted and everything, but this platform is sick. I'm actually working on a video right now for it. But if you work in SecOps or threat intel, this platform is a game changer. Like, normally I don't get all geeked up about new products and stuff, but what they're doing is actually pretty amazing. And they had reached out to me in September to ask about working together, and I totally goofed on it. And then Jason Haddix DM'd me. He's like, hey, Flare messaged me to message you. Check your email. And I'm like, okay. And then, so yeah, this is going to be coming. You guys are going to be absolutely blown away when you see what Flare can do. Also, let me do a checkup on my NIST CSF 2.0 video. My editor says, hey, Gerald, sorry for the slow response. I'm feeling under the weather. I'll try to push through for tomorrow. I really want to get that NIST CSF 2.0 video out ASAP to let you guys know what's up. Let's see, what else is everybody up doing? I love, you know what's funny about jawjacking? Some of the polarizing things that we talk about. I love it. Yeah, Chris Young, I know. I'm just really reluctant to put asks on people. I mean, the mod team already does so much. And, you know, it's... I've had a couple people... Actually, you know what we're going to be doing? What we're going to be doing pretty soon, we are going to be cutting jawjacking. So basically, you know, daily cyber threat brief, 30 minutes of jawjacking. Starting very soon, we're going to, like, just carve off the 30 minutes of jawjacking and put it on Simply Cyber Cafe. Kathy Chambers has volunteered some time. Kimberly Can Fix It has volunteered some time. And we're going to start doing that. I thought I was going to be super clever and come up with a more elegant solution. But I just can't, unfortunately. There's certain, you guys have no idea how much I'm busting at the seams with my time and with, my bandwidth and capabilities. It's just, you know, there's just some things I can't do right now because of constraint. Which is not it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, it's just a real thing. So Jane Michelle says, what's Flare for? So Flare is for, you know, SecOps people and threat intel people mostly. But, like, what it does is it essentially curates tons and tons of dark web intel, clear web intel, and this, and then it has, like, a huge database of it, right? Then the special sauce is that you can set up different identifiers for, like, what you're looking for. So, like, you know, Gerald Osier or Simply Cyber or, you know, yourbusiness.com or whatever, right? And then you can quickly look through, you know, dark web forums. You can look for leaked creds. You can see, like, when info stealers steal info, they're not just stealing session tokens. They'll also steal, like, they'll dump, like, the sys information of the box itself, including host name, where the malware is installed, all those things. So you can actually find an infected, like, if you have an infected computer on your network and you don't know it, You can look at InfoStealer dumps and trace it back to your infected devices. It's just, there's so much functionality. I'm going to do a whole video on it. You guys will see, but it's super awesome. It's a SIM for Intel. Actually it is kind of a SIM for Intel. It's super dope. BSEC just dropped this. This is great. Yeah. So Flare Cyber is right here. I'm going to go ahead and sub anyways. If you want to check it out, here's their YouTube channel. You definitely, you know, go check it out. John Hammond's working with them too. John does a really great job in this video. Where is it? In this video, you can see I already watched this video. John does a great job kind of breaking it down. TLDR stuff here. This is John's video on it. I love it. Basically, I had heard a lot of people talking about Flare. And I was like, what's all this Flare stuff about? And then they reached out to me. I'm like, oh, sweet. What synergy. Bram SLI1 asking if there's coupon codes for the GRC Masterclass. Well, Bram, currently there are no technical campaigns going on, but what I could say, Bram SL1, is that if you go to simplycyber.io/pivot, Bram SL1, if you were to go to simplycyber.io/pivot, and if you happen to put your email address in here, you would start getting emails, and possibly, theoretically, allegedly, you may receive an email at some point that does have a code that could deliver some discounts. That's all I'll say about that. and Bram SL1 too. Like if I do run campaigns, which does happen from time to time, I'll spam it all over social media. So you won't have to worry about that. All right, let's get into some questions here. Luke Canfield saying Wild West Hack and Fest question. Isn't there a bunch that meet somewhere and convoy up to South Dakota? Yeah. So Luke Canfield, there are a bunch of people. I will say, I'm not speaking for Jesse Johnson. What I will say is last year, Jesse Johnson spearheaded an initiative to establish a convoy of people driving. I know Ange from TCM Security and some other groups did convoy up. I do not know if they're doing a convoy this year, but there was a convoy. There may be another one. And yes, it's super cool that they do that. Coordination will be done either in the conference meetup channel on Simply Cyber or potentially on the Wild West Hackenfest website. I also want to let everybody here know that Wild West Hackenfest registration opened last night. Okay, so if you want, and hey, this isn't like a FOMO, this isn't to scare you, okay? But Wild West Hackenfest does have a limited number of tickets. I think they're only allowed to have like 897 people in the hotel where the conference is. So they can only sell so many tickets before they, it's not to limit, right? It's because there's a literal threshold. So if you want to go, I would seriously encourage you purchase your ticket ASAP, okay? You can see that they've got the 2024 stuff here, already here. You can register. I don't know where the registration button is. The hell's it? Hold on. Conference. The registration button, perhaps, Jerry? Jesus. Personally, I got super excited. The theme this year is we aim to misbehave. I am the keynote, or I am one of the keynote speakers, probably the conference closer keynote this year, which I'm super pumped and honored for. I was the Rita Award winner last year, which was a great honor and a privilege. Jesse Johnson, the Cosmic Cowboy. This seems on brand for you, buddy. All right, so get on that, guys. I'm not trying to rush you, but I'm going to be there. Hey, Luke Canfield, I'm flying. So. I do feel bad for Jesse Johnson, though. Like, he took me to the airport and on the way home hit a deer. Does Flair still require a business email? Yes, Mason Wells. Bram SL1, I plan on taking the GRC masterclass this weekend. I need to get into cybersecurity as soon as possible. My current job comes to an end at the end of this month. Oh, boy. Sorry to hear that, Bram. And I'm super supportive of you. I will tell you, the GRC Analyst Masterclass, I cannot promise anyone a job, but what I can tell you is there are multiple examples of people who took my course and got a job. Now, that doesn't mean, again, I can't promise a job, but I can tell, and I don't know what those people's prior experience was to attribute to that, but I will say that the class is literally designed for giving you the practical skills you need, not a bunch of fluff. Daily cyber threat bingo next Friday to launch engagement. Yeah, hey, let's talk about the bingo for a second, can we? Chris and Chris set up this bingo thing, and I'm always running around, and it's difficult for me to kind of get my arms around it. Let's talk about the bingo card. I'd love to pull it up. Chris, if you want, mention it in chat or start DMing me on Discord, and we can do it a little bit faster. I'm checking my calendar really quickly too. Today I've got, okay, cool. I got some time. Today's a busy day. Cyber Hamburglar says, Jerry, any tips going into final round or interviews this afternoon? Architect role, 90-minute panel, 3 IT stakeholders. Yeah. So definitely when you're talking to IT stakeholders, obviously you want to carry your own water, but you also be mindful of what's important to them, right? As much as, you know, we do great work and help others and stuff. People commonly are interested in, you know, what matters to them. So definitely, you may want to reference, you know, if you can, like, I'm just doing this off the cuff, but like, if you can, like this story about the Linux misconfiguration stuff, you could mention that and say like, oh, you know, like, you know, this misconfiguration, you might want to use like vulnerability scanners, but be mindful vulnerability scanners can knock things over. So we would definitely want to collaborate with the IT team in order to make sure that assets that are sensitive to scanning weren't knocked over, right? Obviously stuff like that. Personally, I don't think I've ever said this in a video, Cyber Hamburglar, but personally, when I get asked a question, two things you should definitely do. One, if they ask like a vague scenario-based question, like, oh, hey, a user calls in and reports a fish, what do you do? Like, take a moment, take a beat, and then ask, they're making up a scenario. So ask follow-up questions to qualify the scenario itself so you can, appear more well-informed on what do you need to know in order to solve this and, you know, move on from that. So you could say, hey, all right, so person calls in. All right, well, do we have EDR on that person's box? And like, do we have an EDR solution? Yes or no? They'll come and be like, yeah, you do. All right, so you're like, okay, so I would, you know, I talk to the end user and ask them, what did they do? What happened, okay? And then you might say, so what does the user say? Like, did they see something in email? Did they get a text message? Like, I need to understand what the user did so I can tell you what my next steps are. Oh, the user did it in email. All right. Well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and, you know, contain the incident right before I investigate. So talking to the end user, they said they ran something, but then the EDR solution popped up and said that malware was stopped from executing. All right, very cool. Thank you. I get off the phone with the end user. I'm going to go confirm in the EDR solution what happened. What does it look like? Good. Do we have some type of email security gateway that I can log into? Yeah, we have Exchange Online Protection. Perfect. I'm going to log into Exchange Online Protection. I'm going to look at what that email was. I'm going to identify any other recipients of that email. Did any other recipients get it? Yes or no? Yeah, the CEO got it. Okay, very cool. I'm going to go ahead and, first of all, create a policy around blocking that sender. Then I'm going to check through the email security gateway if that email successfully was delivered to the CEO. Yes, it was. Well, I'm going to go into the EDR and see if the EDR has gotten any detonation and stuff. No, it isn't there. I'm going to call the CEO because this is serious and ask him if he has seen that email. And if not, maybe in an exchange online, we can tell if it's been opened or not. Pull that email back so the CEO never sees it. You know what I mean? So like, so all of that, a long way to say, and this goes for anybody in an interview, when they are given a scenario-based question, don't be shy to ask about follow-up qualifying statements. They will give you context. And because you get context, A, you're given more time to think, which is phenomenal. Two, you're given kind of injects to be able to shape the narrative of what your answer is. If you just say like, if they, and it's more engaging for the interviewer, and it shows that you know what questions to ask. So even though you're asking a question, you're actually demonstrating expertise and knowledge by asking the question itself. It's a win-win for you, okay? I had another one, but I forget. Just be respectful, answer the question clearly. If you don't know the answer, say you don't know. And then, you know, try to give a well-rounded answer. Also, personally, when I think of like risk, if the question's around risk, I like to think of like physical risk, administrative risk, and technical risk, right? Like kind of look, you know, if they're like, oh, like we're considering, because you're an architect, right? We're considering getting like this new solution, like whatever the solution is, right? Or we're thinking of like going into a new facility or mergers and acquisitions. Be like, what kind of risks should we be worried about? You can be like, all right, so like from a physical risk, which is kind of easy, right? Like what kind of physical assets are at this new facility? What kind of locks and stuff? I want to make sure that the physical is secured. From an administrative risk, what kind of people are working there? What kind of access do they need? What kind of workflows and stuff? Does it need to be unlocked at night? Is it a 24/7 facility? Like whatever, right? And then the technical one, you could spend the most amount of time. But again, it gives you a more robust, comprehensive answer than just saying, you definitely want to look at the firewalls. Okay. I maybe went a little long on that, but do you have any information on the pre-Wild West Hackenfest training? There's no specifics on the site. I do not have information yet, Alpha Sierra. My suspicion is that they haven't firmed up who the trainings are yet, but I know Michelle Kahn will be doing his OPSEC for OFSEC, or his OSIN for OFSEC course, which is phenomenal. Really quickly, looking at the DMs are coming in, let's talk about this bingo really quickly. Let's look at this. So this is the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief bingo card thing. Chris Whitlock is in DMs too. So here's my thing. I don't understand. Like, how do we disseminate? Like, how does it work? How do we disseminate the bingo card? How does everyone get a different bingo card? How do we get notified that the bingo card is completed by somebody? That's what I want to know. Maybe we should just have a call, right? Haircut Fish says, if you click registration, you can see the classes. Let's take a look. Ah, thank you, Haircut Fish. So yes, actually you could see right here. Remember I told you earlier, there's a limited number of tickets. There's only 468 left, okay? Now the training, we have Endpoint Investigations with Alyssa Torres. Chris Brenton's doing some work. Chris Brenton with anti-siphon training. I mean, he's with Active Countermeasures, but he does anti-siphon training all the time. Chris Trainer is with Black Hills, Low Country Zone. Bo Bullock, you guys know Bo Bullock. That dude is legit cloud hacker. Wade Wells, Wading Through the Logs, CTI 101. That'll be fun. Gerard Johansson. I don't know Gerard, but that's okay. Defending the Enterprise, IR with Derek Banks. Intro to IoT hacking. That's probably a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. John Strand himself doing an intro to pen testing class. Get taught in person by the man. Hal Pomerez is in here. This is great, man. Tim Fowler. Holy crap, dude. Eric Capuano, Eric Capuano and Whitney Champion coming back. Dude, these two are amazing. I'm a huge fan of Eric and Whitney. She goes by Shortstack on Twitter. You might, or Mastodon, you might know her or see her. They're over at Lima Charlie now. They were at Recon InfoSec for a while. Here's what I would say. If you're a SOC analyst and you want to take it to the next level, this is definitely the training for you. They're awesome. And Yeah. All right, let's keep going. I'm actually going to, I know I'm the keynote at Wild West Hackenfest, but I'm going to message them and ask them if I need to register too. Do you try unplugging it and then plugging it back in? All right. What are we doing on time? We got 6 more minutes. Loving the jaw jacking. What a great Friday. What a great Friday. Getting hungry, though. What are you guys talking about in here? Flip-flops and scuba diving? B. McD is up in here. Chris Whitlock, Chris Young, if you guys are available, maybe right after the stream ends, we could hop on voice chat and just like sort out the workflow for this bingo card. It would be fun to do bingo on Fridays. All right, just looking at chat here. Are you going to go for the pen testing course and get your first CVE? No. I don't know. If I was going to do a training, I'm actually kind of surprised Michelle Kahn is not here. What I will tell you, this is really cool. Look at this, guys. This is really cool. So a lot of people bring their spouse or loved one to the conference, but they hang out in Deadwood. They don't come to the conference themselves. So on the steak dinner night, you can actually just purchase an extra ticket for the steak dinner. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, I love it. As far as CVEs go, no, I'm not going to take a training. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Personally, I travel. By the way, I got my Black Hat ticket Monday or a couple days ago, so I'll be definitely at Black Hat DEF CON this year. For me, I work my off. Okay, I work very hard, and I work. I mean, I probably like. I'm not even being like hyperbolic. I work 11, 12 hour days, like. Every day. And on Saturday and Sunday, I typically work 6 hours. So it's like, it's a lot. Okay. So when I go to Black Hat, that's like 7 days away from my family. When I go to Wild West Hackenfest, that's like four-ish days for my family. So for me, like the training is wicked fun and I would love to take it. But at the same time, the return on the investment for doing the training, I like none of those trainings I'm going to operationalize professionally. So for me, it's fun. But then I look at the cost of like time away from my kids and my wife and like the thing that I'm already, you know, would love to get more time of. So I can't do the training. It just doesn't work for me, unfortunately. All right, let's go. Alan Escobar, come back next Friday. We'll have the entire workflow explained on how to do the bingo. Do you speak at Black Hat? If it would be so cool to have a Simply Cyber gathering at Black Hat. So Heather Fortune, we do have a Simply Cyber meetup. I hold it on the Friday of that week, so it's technically a DEF CON meetup, not a Black Hat meetup. But I do, honestly, so here's the deal. Here's another thing you may or may not know. At Black Hat, like I'm working my ass off. Like Black Hat, I'm like, it's all like, I don't want to get into it because it's boring, but like I'm literally working from like the second I wake up until probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And yeah, sometimes it's like at the bar having cocktails or whatever, but like it's still working. Like I'm meeting with certain people to discuss certain things and do projects or whatever. So like I don't get to like relax until Friday basically. I mean Thursday night I kind of start relaxing, but Friday is like my big play day. So I typically do the Simply Cyber meetup on Friday. All right. What else we got here? Get the DEF CON sorted with rooms and flights, yeah. Yeah, the flights aren't so bad. Last year, my flight got delayed 24 hours, which would kind of sucked. Yeah. I'll be Ubering to DEF CON. I'm staying at the Luxor. Dude, I got my tickets. I got my room at the Luxor. I'm not even joking. I think I paid like $38 a night or something stupid. I'm there all week for like $400. It was like crazy. Dash with a squad emote. How many programmers does it take to change a light bulb? None. It's a hardware problem. I love it. Love this community. Thanks for the everything, Jerry, of course. Thanks, Dash, for the joke, and great to see you at 9 months. I wonder if I can give away a squad membership. Hold on. I think I get to do this. Free membership, milestone chat, membership gifting. Ooh, I have membership gifts to give out. Hey, if you're still here, guess what? Incoming. Nice. 5 new squad members coming in hot. So if you want a gifted squad membership, congratulations. Thank you for staying to the end. And as a little gift to 5 lucky folks, there's some squad memberships. If you want, I think you have to opt in to picking it up. Carrie with the gifted sub. Chelsea Ray Waterhouse with the gifted sub. Robert Rittenhouse with the gifted sub. Tom Mahone gifted sub. And our good friend Alpha Sierra with the gifted sub. Nice. Congratulations, everybody. I'm glad I got to do that to launch into a Friday. All right, guys. I gotta boogie out of here. Thank you all so very much. Keep doing all the good work you guys are doing. Keep supporting each other. Put good out into the world. I'm Jerry, your chat. Until next time, y'all, have a great weekend and stay secure.
If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.